Okay. On the day past the election, everybody has their 2 cents. I get my penny into this. This is just a couple of comments, and I won't read you the long one. It's really good, actually. I'll tell you, it's on bible-truth.org. Very, very well written. I mean, there's no way he should have even been elected, but we know all those things. We do. And it wouldn't have been any different if the other side would have been elected either. But here's two of them. The sooner you get your minds wrapped around this, the better. The CFR, which is the Council of Foreign Relations meeting, I think CFR, is sponsoring both sides of this election. Globalist David Rockefeller is top dog director of the CFR. They're an international organization that supports abortion, sodomy, gun bans, controlled speech, controlled religions, Al-Gorean environmentalism, pantheism, evolution, removing national borders, one world currency, one world government, being socialist. This election is rigged. It makes no difference who you vote for. Their agenda is ultimately the same. Obama and McCain are on the same side. The rhetoric differs a little. The images differ a little, but the broad agenda is identical. And what is the agenda? The New World Order. Good for you, Tino. Glad to see somebody's talking about that. And then one more, and then we'll get into two more, I guess. This is from a 29-year-old Thailand person at Starbucks in Bangkok. What an inspiration. He is the first truly global U.S. president the world has ever had. He had an Asian childhood, African parentage, and has a Middle Eastern name. He is truly a global president. And this one I do like this one a lot, though. Going through the text of Barack Obama's speech, Tino writes, Obama says, "Hello, Chicago. If there's anyone out there who still doubts that America is a place where all things are possible, who still wonders if the dream of our founders is alive in our time, who still questions the power of our democracy, tonight is your answer." So he's the answer, see. And then Tina writes a quick little paragraph, and it seems like nobody remembers this. We just don't talk about this. We are not supposed to be a democracy. We're a republic. The founders loathed democracy. Democracy, this is good. A democracy is two wolves and a sheep voting on what to have for dinner. I like that. A republic is the sheep with the right to bear arms. And I was just thinking, you know, there is something to teach our kids regarding history. And unfortunately, it's what we were. We've kind of done that anyway, but it's becoming more obvious. Take your Bibles, turn to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. You know, we would have been bothered, no matter who, we would have been bothered anyway at the end of the election, but for some reason, this one seems to be more bothersome to me. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 1. "Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto Him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us, as that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition." So, I'm bothered by this. I am, you know, and I don't know why. We knew what was going on. I think we really know today even what's going on. We know there wouldn't have been any winners either way. I didn't have a desire in the first place to watch the news, but I don't want to watch any news now. I just don't want to hear how joyous they are, what's going on. And I wonder if that isn't just me and my pride. Only by pride cometh contention. And I just don't like the pictures. I don't like the images of what I see with the rejoicing that's going on, knowing that so many people in an election which was not deemed as a racial election turns out to be total racial celebration. So it had to be what that was. And there's people that voted for him totally, truly, based on his color. Plus the fact that there's other pasts in his backgrounds than him. And this letter by this truth.org is very good because it talks about there's not an ounce of reason for him even to have been running, let alone elected. So tonight I want to just encourage myself, and if you can get encouraged to this thing, go ahead. It's the fact that we must continue on. We must. So does that mean, look at Acts chapter 2, does that mean that the way things are going, and you know, whatever it will be, as they say, que sera, whatever. I think I did that sermon a long time ago. Do we need to continue on with Acts chapter 2, verse 42? So do we continue with Acts 2:42, which is classic. And it says there that they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. And that's all I need to say is, as a Christian in Christianity, do we need to continue on the way things are going to turn out to be here? We know the challenges are going to be here. Do we need to continue on with the apostles' doctrine? Because that's what just about everybody is following. And what does the apostles' doctrine include? Well, it includes healing and miracles and signs and wonders and God telling you this and God telling you that, the power of prayer and this sort of a thing. And it includes in verse 47, everybody's having favor with everybody because that's what they're after. That's what they're after. Everybody's supposed to just be good buddies and good friends. So is that what we're supposed to continue with? No, we know better than that because that's not Paul's doctrine. So, how did this come about? According to the Scriptures. Well, we know that profane and vain babblings lead to an increase in ungodliness. Knowing that ungodliness is not a visual appearance, it's a belief. It's what Christianity should be. And that's not there anymore. It's hardly there at all, anywhere. We know that 2 Timothy 3 talks about a godliness that denies the power thereof. So we have a godliness in this country, but there's no power there. It denies the power. I think there's times I've quoted godliness without the power. No, it doesn't say without. I correct myself. It says godliness denying, ungodliness denying the power. So that's pretty serious. That's pretty serious. And at the end of that, any of those verses in 2 Timothy 3, 1-9, it ends with, we're supposed to turn away. And how did this all come about? We're not turning away from what we're supposed to turn away from. And we haven't turned away. This country has chosen to follow profane and vain babblings. What are profane and vain babblings? Wrongly dividing a Bible. 1 Timothy 6:10 talks about a love of money. Greed, love of money is involved with that thing. And then also back to 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5, we see the supposing gain that is godliness. And we can go through some other things, which we will do here, how this came about. I look at those as the four big ones. Other than imitation God, imitation church, imitation Christ, imitation Bibles, that whole thing for the foundation. But how did America get to where it's gotten, knowing how it got started? Profane and vain babblings. A false religion, a false Christianity. Godliness denying the power thereof. Nobody turned away from it like they should have. A love of money. And causes all the things that have caused there. And supposing that gain is godliness. If we can prove that gain is there, then it must be right. Doesn't matter what God it is, even if it's themselves as a God. So how did this come about? Here we go. Well, Paul was not preached in every church in America. If Paul would have been preached in every church, like he says in Corinthians, we wouldn't have gotten to this place, because rightly dividing would have been there. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Apparently, Christians or people in this country did not fully know something. What did they not fully know? 2 Timothy 3:10 says, he says, "But thou hast fully known my doctrine, manner of life, purpose, faith, long-suffering, charity, patience, even persecutions and afflictions." But apparently, we didn't know that. Because if we'd have known those things, we'd have been preaching Paul's gospel and we wouldn't have gotten to this place. How can you say we wouldn't have gotten to this place? Because rightly dividing will not lead to an increase in ungodliness. Profane and vain babblings will. Apparently that nobody did, or most people did not do, Philippians 4:9. What is that? What Paul did. What Paul taught. What Paul showed. What we were supposed to have received from Paul. What we saw in Paul. We didn't do those things. If we'd have done those things, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today. Look at Titus chapter 2. How did this come about, where we are today? Apparently, nobody's been speaking about what sound doctrine is. In Titus chapter 2, verse 1. But speak all the things which become sound doctrine. There's our list. Apparently that wasn't done in America. We wouldn't be in the position we're in today. Look at verse. Look at chapter 2, verse 15. Apparently, preachers and pastors and parents and fathers, I suppose, did not speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority, based on sound doctrine. 2:15 of Titus. These are things that haven't taken place. If they had, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Look at Titus chapter 3, verse 9. Apparently, a lot of people did not avoid foolish questions. Genealogies, all these religious genealogies, contentions and strivings about the law. We find out from Paul that Christ took care of the law. And it says that they're unprofitable and vain. So apparently people did not stay away from these foolish questions. And apparently verse 10 was not instigated either. A man that is an heretic after the first and second admonition, reject. What do we have in the president's office? A heretic. What do we have in the Senate? A heretic. A bunch of heretics. Hereticettes. What do we have in the House? Hundreds of heretics and hereticettes. What do we have in governors? We're in a mess. We're not following what Paul preached and taught. And I know we know that. But it needs to be said. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 4. Because I'll show you, I'm trying to be encouraging tonight, believe it or not. 2 Timothy chapter 4. What was not done? Well, apparently they haven't been preaching the Word. Rightly divided Word, we know that. In season, out of season. There's to be a reprove. There's supposed to be a rebuke. And exhort with all long-suffering and doctrine, of course, but still, must not be done. Look at 2 Timothy 4, verse 10. It looks to me like we've had most Christians today, even the Paul-following Christians, more and more as time goes on, are following Demas, not Paul anymore. In verse 11, it says, "For Demas hath forsaken me." That means he followed him at one time, having loved this present world. Now, the way things are going, I'm hoping that we don't have any Demas followers in here. I hope you kids don't grow up and be Demas followers. Because you're going to love this present world more than what Paul preaches and teaches. We look at 2 Timothy chapter 2. Apparently, the men have not done what they're supposed to do, and that is to commit and teach others also. And the things that thou hast heard of me, that's Paul, among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who should be able to teach others also. Apparently that hasn't been done over the history of America. Because if they had, the men and the pastors of this country would have been teaching Paul and preaching Paul, and their witness would have been about Paul, and those faithful men would have taken that on to somebody else, so we would have had a reverse of their genealogical studies where they go back to John the Baptist, they go back to the apostles. Paul would have kept going for these all these years from man to man to man. And we wouldn't be in the mess we're in today at all. 1 Timothy chapter 6, I know you know this set of verses. Apparently we have leaders in our country, leaders in our churches, and I'm sorry to say, but I would imagine within our homes, who are proud. Yet God says, knowing nothing. Verse 4, 1 Timothy 6, 4. Doubting about questions and strifes of words. They come out of colleges picking at the words of this King James Bible. Whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, evil surmisings, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds. Our leaders have corrupt minds. They're destitute of the truth. And they figure that gain is godliness. Supposing that gain is godliness. And the Christians did not withdraw from this over all these years. So that's why we're in the mess we're in. Look at chapter 2 of 2 Timothy. Just a page or two over. Chapter 2, verse 26. What do we have out there in our leadership of this country and in our churches as well? We have leaders who are taken captive by the devil at his will. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 26. I mean, how else could this have been done? You read this article. I probably should have taken the time to read this thing, but I won't. It talks about who this Obama guy was, and he was nothing. I mean, absolutely a nothing. His past. He says here, isn't it amazing that he has never accomplished anything in his life other than winning a Senate seat? He is openly endorsed and supported by Iran, Hamas, Farrakhan, and all the enemies of America. He supports abortion, partial birth abortion, gay, homosexual rights, same-sex marriage, proven liar, and will not salute the American flag, supposedly. That's been proven both sides. Does not support the military, has no foreign policy experience, plans to raise taxes the highest in history. That'll be a battle to get them higher than what we had, but, you know, still. They say that the news media has recognized that he has a hypnotic effect on people. He's immune to any negative revelation about himself. He has terrorist and extreme racial associations, sealed all public records about himself, and nobody cares. He has a power that defies rational explanation. Then he talks about a paragraph here of people in churches, how they were voting for Obama within the churches. And there were people in churches all over the country watching the results in their church to see if this guy would be elected. He says here, what we are seeing is the new America. Get used to it. America has been changing for the past 50 years and has now reached its pinnacle. Obama is right when he said America is not a Christian nation anymore. Well, the sobering fact is that America has not been a Christian nation for a long time. The truth is, what happened? So, he's got his comments about that, but I thought, you know, we need to look at the Scriptures. How did this come about? Okay, look at another one here. Galatians chapter 5. The liberty in Christ as a pattern for the liberty in America was not followed. If people would have followed the five strings that I see attached to the liberty of Christ, we wouldn't be in the mess we're in. Same thing with Christianity. Chapter 5, verse 1, stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. We're going right back to bondage. Now it's just a different color. Different set of people. How'd that happen? They don't understand that liberty has strings attached. But not following the liberty that Christ established. Look at 2 Timothy 3:16. How'd this come about? For all these years, people trusted in the power of prayer rather than scriptural wisdom and guidance. So they just let it happen and they say this is God's design. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. We wouldn't be in this mess we're in today if it wasn't for this, if they'd have followed this Bible as the Scriptures. And then lastly, Ephesians chapter 4. People in this world and Christians. It's just like Paul. As we read through Paul, I think we would recognize that the majority of the people that Paul warns Christians about are Christians, the brethren. I've noticed that. And so it's the Christians that are causing trouble within Christianity, all these things I'm reading. What about America? I think it's the Christians in America over all these years that have been duped by all these things. How'd that come about? Well, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 and 18 talks about walking in the vanity of their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. They're through the ignorance that is in them. Their heart is blinded. They've got their past feeling. Have given themselves over into lasciviousness, which is flesh, and to work all uncleanness with greediness. And then it says in verse 20, but ye have not so learned Christ, if so be that ye have heard Him. And what's happened in America is they quit hearing from Christ a long time ago. Because Paul teaches a risen Christ. Simple as that to me. Now, look at Ephesians chapter 5. A bearer of bad news here, Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. I do believe it's going to get worse. We know that. I don't think you have a problem. We have a problem with that, but we think we're sure it's going to take place. It says in verse 8, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye the light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. The trouble that we're going to have is that we're not going to reprove these fruits of darkness like we ought to. How can you say that? Because we still have it. And the darkness is getting darker. Do you remember in Nehemiah, we talked about the wall that they built? Remember all that about the wall, how they built that thing to protect them? And I was thinking the other day about this wall thing, and it seems to me, this is just my observation, it seems to me that we are building walls in our church family and different folks that are out there. We are building walls. But I'm afraid that in most cases, we're on the wrong side of the wall. We're on the side of the wall that still has the world in it. And our kids are just going to see all that. They're going to hear all that. They're going to get involved in all that. Us as parents are involved in all that. Can we be on this side of the wall? I think we can. But boy, it takes some real serious Christianity to be on this side of the wall, with the wall between us and the world. And it was a long time ago, and I got my first wide margin King James Bible. I was reading some things, and it came out of Ephesians. I'm just remembering this now. And I remember I got a little book along. It was called the Pied Piper, and it talked about the effect that music is going to have in the churches of America. And there's no author to this thing. And I remember I want to check out the scriptures. And I saw these scriptures, and it was about a wall that we were to build a wall. And it talked about different verses for the different bricks and everything. And I recognized that, well, of course, we are inside the wall. And we made comments like the brick is coming down here and we're sneaking in here, you know, and that kind of a thing. But I realize now that we are on the other side of the wall. And I'm not sure we're going to be able to stand to get on this side with Paul. I think we have our feet in the other side of that wall pretty established. I don't mean that critically or judgmentally. I think that's just a fact we have to realize. The world is that dark. The darkness pervades almost anywhere we go anymore. We still have things within our home that are fruits of darkness. Works of darkness, put it that way. Works of darkness. It's a hard time. I believe it's going to get harder. Why would you say it's going to get harder? Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Because this talks about in the last days, this is how things will be. We're not in the last days. I don't believe we're in the last days. I think we're in the latter times, getting close to the last days. And yet what we see is we see these things taking place more and more. And we know that. We won't take the time to read them, I suppose. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 to 7, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Then we got in verse 8 that these two men resist the truth. We have people that don't just ignore the truth. They resist the truth today. And like he says in Timothy, 1 Timothy, these folks have corrupt minds and they're reprobate concerning the faith. So it is going to get harder. It is going to get harder. If you look down at verse 13, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's going to get worse. If you see in verse 12, yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, that's not God's wrath. That's persecution from down here in this earth. That is not God's wrath. God promises to keep us from His wrath. That's not a problem. The problem is the persecution. What kind of persecution are we going to have to live under? I don't know. I really don't know. And there's all sorts of reports and emails and fearful this and fearful that. I don't know. Let's look at Revelation 13. There's things coming up. I know that. There has to be. Revelation 13, verse 5. Just for one of the verses here. Revelation 13, 5. And there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies. Well, we're already hearing those things. Not from him directly, I don't believe at all. But it's getting closer. Let's go to Daniel chapter 11. We won't make a big study out of this. Let the prophecy guys sell their books. Daniel chapter 11, verse 36. Just a few verses. And the king shall do according to his will, and he shall exalt himself and magnify himself above every god, and shall speak marvelous things against the God of gods, and shall prosper till the indignation be accomplished. For that is determined shall be done. Neither shall he regard the God of his fathers, nor the desire of women, nor regard any God, for he shall magnify himself above all. But in his estate shall he honor the God of forces, And a God whom his father knew not shall he honor with gold and silver and with precious stones and pleasant things. Thus shall he do in the most stronghold to the strange God, whom he shall acknowledge and increase with glory, and he shall cause them to rule over many and shall divide the land for gain. So we're going to see things just go terrible. So there's my negative introduction. You keep track of all these verses, Caitlin? You getting them? Okay. Then write down 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. Let's turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. What must we do? I don't have a big bunch of doom and gloom facts and everything. You can get them on your own. Just type in www.doomandgloom and you can find all the things that are coming getting us. And I suppose we could grab our guns and 50 pounds of hamburger and a power and a hand power freezer and 20,000 pounds of chocolate, that kind of a thing, and go hide. Go run and hide to prepare ourselves for this tribulation. But we don't need to do that. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, here we go. We must continue. We cannot get entangled in the affairs of this life. Look what it says. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. It's going to go the way it's going to go. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 tells us exactly what Paul is, what Paul's ministry is all about. 1 Timothy 6, verse 17, he says, charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. So what we have coming up, whatever it is, whatever our personal fears are, whatever our disappointments are, whatever our frustrations and angers or whatever, and I'm just as preaching to myself about this as anybody tonight, we need to not get caught up in this thing, and we need to trust in a living God. And to trust in the living God means we study, respond, and try to live the way Paul teaches us to live, because that's what the living God would have us do. The risen Christ. That's it. I wonder when we're going to get serious enough to realize that that is all we have left to do. I noticed that when the election was going on, the stock market was going bonkers. And then when the election was over, the stock market just died. I mean, it had the worst fall it's had in I don't know how many years, whatever. I thought the last one was bad. This one was worse, I guess. So, it's not going to get fixed. It's going to be globally fixed. We know that according to the Bible. We just don't need to get caught up in this stuff. It's going to go the way it's going to go. So trusting in the living God means Romans to Philemon and trying to instigate those things into our lives. And it isn't just a do list. It's the joy and the peace and the joy and the peace and what are those things in there? Joy and the peace? Understanding of the fact that all that the risen Christ has done, not just what he wants us to do. Back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. When he says up there, verse 1, verse 2, that you be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter as from us. Isn't that interesting that they put that in there? We don't need to get shook up in 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 2, because of the Antichrist coming, because of the tribulation that's coming, because of the wrath of God that's coming to this world. The Antichrist, that type of thing. But he also throws in there, nor by letter as from us. I mean, people are getting shaken in mind and troubled by the Bible. There's no need for that. There is no need for that. Look at 2 Timothy chapter... We're just flying through verses, so good luck, Caitlin. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Most important one there tonight that we're worrying about is fear. 2 Timothy 2, 3 says that we're to endure hardness as a soldier. 2 Timothy 4, 3 that we must endure sound doctrine. So we have some enduring coming up. We must endure hardness. It's going to get tough. And yet we must endure what's right. We must endure truth. sound doctrine. What is sound doctrine? Rightly divided word of truth. Gets real specific. Goes right to Titus chapter 2. But anything that Paul preaches is truth. Truth would be sound doctrine. Acts 26. What should we do? Let's do our best. Let's try harder than we ever have to let our eyes be open, to allow God in this Bible to open our eyes, allow Him to turn it from darkness to light. We need to be able to let our eyes look at light, not darkness. We need to be able to turn from the power of Satan unto God. We know this. You've heard this. But listen, as things go the way they're going to go, we have nothing else to do. We know where it's going to go. Philippians 4:9, 2 Timothy 3:10 both talk about Paul's manner of life. So we still have the freedom, so far, to try to get our homes to live the manner of life that Paul would describe. Remember, we have no law to worry about. We have no accuser accusing us. We have no wrath of God to come down and get us. And 2 Timothy 4:21, just a little phrase I heard preached a long time ago. Do thy diligence to come before winter. When things get cold, when things get expensive because of heat, when the crops aren't growing, we need to have been working already. So when the time comes, and I'm not talking about the tribulation, just talking about when winter hits our house or winter hits your house. Maybe winter has hit your home or your life. Were you ready for it? Now, here's my encouragement. What must we do to continue on? Acts 13. Here we go. This is the positive approach now. We as King James, Bible-believing, rightly dividing, Paul-following, not hyper, realizing that we must even rightly divide Paul somewhat, realizing that Timothy and Titus are the hard books as far as our walk goes. There's some other places, but those are the general books for that. Acts 13, verse 43. Now, when the congregation was broken up, many of the Jews and religious proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. We belong to the dispensation of grace. This is the time we're in. We need to realize that as things get rougher and tougher, we're going to have to endure hardness, struggle to endure sound doctrine, that we are living in the time of God's grace. Simple as that. We need to live in the grace of God. Look at Acts 14:22. Confirming that Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith. We can't quit. We can't pull our stakes. Look at Acts 15:35. Acts 15:35. Paul also and Barnabas continued in Antioch, teaching and preaching the word of the Lord. What do? We must continue to teach and preach the word of the Lord. The word of the risen Lord to us, the word of the Lord to the Jews for us to learn from. Same thing in verse 11. I don't have the right verse there. Look at Galatians 2:5. Galatians 2:5. What do we need to do? We need to continue in God's grace. We need to stay in the faith. We need to continue to preach and teach the Word of God, Word of the Lord, which is the risen Lord. Galatians chapter 2, verse 5. To whom he gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. The truth of the gospel. We must stay with the truth of the gospel. Well, this all sounds like good churchy preaching stuff, but what can I tell you? This is, what did you do? I looked up the word continue. Well, that's tough. I know. You pay me way too much for how hard this is. I love the Concordat. I mean, just I wonder what I was just thinking last night. I had something else I was going to do. Continue. And we need to continue. Wonder what Paul says about continue. Marvelous things. He's encouraging us to continue. We know things are going to get hard. We know why things are the way they are. We know it's not going to change, except for the worse. So as we trust the living God, we're to trust the living God, what he told to Paul to teach to us. He told us to continue in the grace of God. He told us to continue in the faith. Don't quit. He told us to continue teaching and preaching. We can if it's still here. He told us to continue in the truth of the gospel. Philippians chapter 1, he tells us to stay with him. Can you imagine such a person? Who was this Paul guy anyway? Philippians chapter 1, verse 25. Paul had the confidence with the people he was teaching when he said in verse 25, and having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you. Okay? I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. As we have to endure hardness, we can still have a joy of faith continue. It can get better. How can it get better if the world's going to get worse? Because we're trusting in the living God's teachings to us to have this joy increase, the joy of faith for the furtherance and joy of faith. Our faith can grow. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 16 again. 1 Timothy 4:16. 1 Timothy 4:16 tells us, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them. And continue in what? The previous doctrine. Verse 15, meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them. To what? The verses before that. Why? Because verse 16, first it says, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. The way things are going, people still need to hear the truth. Do they need to hear the truth, or do they need to see the truth? We've learned from Paul's teachings that we need to show them what it is. As things get worse, we cannot get scared. We cannot have the fear. It's not from God. We cannot have confusion. We know what's going on. We may have some questions about, is the gold going to work? Is the gold not going to work? Where should we keep our money? What money? That could be this. We don't need to get caught up in the affairs of what's going on here, and people will see what it is that we have. What is that? Well, we have the risen Christ. We have the living God. And we understand exactly what he tells us by what he tells to Paul to tell to us. We've been in this for seven years. We're going to find out what we need to be doing. And some of the things that bother us today are going to seem pretty minuscule, I think that's the right word, compared to what's coming. Pretty Eeyore. Well, let's keep looking. Look at Colossians chapter 4. He just got done telling us that the reason we need to stay in this thing is for other people. They need to see us have that joy and the furtherance of our faith. Not the decline, not the fearsome, not the crumbling. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Continue in prayer. Well, of course we still pray. Just don't expect to... I was thinking this today. The power in prayer, that's such a big thing in modern Christianity today. Where was it during World War II? Do you realize how many people were in the trenches and, you know, the whole war scene? Getting off their boat, going on that little skipper boat, what do they call those things, and the front door goes down. You bet there's people praying back inside those little boats right there. I bet there's a couple people saved in there. Where was this power of prayer? And when that thing went down, the whole boat just got just wiped out in seconds. There's all sorts of experiences, and yet you get these people who have answers to prayer. But what about Captain Smith, two people over, who lost his head? Go through the Depression. How come that wasn't prayed away? You read about these things. And this power of prayer is a huge false teaching that has blossomed today. But still, he says, continue in prayer without ceasing. And he says, and watch in the same, what's the same? Prayer with thanksgiving. Have you thanked him for what's going on in the election in our country and what's changing us? Is it going to make us more serious. The ones that we have left, are we going to become more serious because of what's going on? We ought to. We ought to have our joy and our faith furthered. Well, that's good. Remember a long time ago, after the 9-1-1 thing, I think it was. I think I preached a sermon on, or close to that thing, on Thank You, United Nations. Thinking at the time that we thought things were going to get worse, and they have. We just kind of got used to it. That it caused us to be better Christians? Well, I don't know. So, pray with thanksgiving. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3. Let's continue. Second Timothy chapter 3, verse 14. It says, "But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them." Well, it's pretty rough, Pastor. We know we learned this from you. You didn't learn this from me. We learned these things from Paul. We learned these things from a rightly divided Bible. We can have assurance that we know who we learned these from, and that's the risen Christ, the living God. Those are the things that we need to continue in. That's what he says. Continue thou in the things which thou hast learned. What got you to the point where you are right now? Keep it up. Don't stop now. Why not? It's from the risen Christ. It's from the risen Savior, the living God. King James Bible, rightly divided, Paul, our apostle. Knowing that we've been rightly divided Paul because of 1 Corinthians 13:10. We know that this Bible is the Word of God. It is inspired. God breathed this into those men in whatever town they did this thing in. We know that is infallible, which means it's not capable of erring. So we can trust it. It's not capable of failing. That's what it is. It's not capable of failing. In other words, if we trust this Bible, it will follow through. Well, Pastor hasn't followed through for me very well in America. Yes, because they were trusting the Gospels for the Christians that were. They were trusting the Gospels, or they were trusting the Old Testament law, or they're trusting the everlasting Gospel in Revelation, or they're trusting where they have to obey the commandments. God didn't have to act on those. But what he says through Paul will not fail. It will not fail. We need to trust this Bible that it will not fail. Without error and perfect. It's done. There it is. What we read and see and believe, we can trust it. And he says, continue thou in the things that thou hast learned and hast been assured of. Now, here's what people are going to start doing. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3 is tribulation. I know that. So this is what's coming. And we see more and more of it already taking place today. And we could fall into this trap very easily. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 4. Actually, 3 and 4. Talks about here, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We're not in the last days, but we must be getting close to them. And saying, where is the promise of his coming? Well, this is referring to his coming. We have the rapture to look forward to. This reference is to his coming. But it's still applicable because do we think he's not coming? He's been coming since we read a couple of books many years ago. He's been coming. He's been coming since we had a baby daughter. He's still been coming. I'm 95 years old. I don't know when he's coming. I don't know when he's coming. And in our case, he's coming for the rapture. No doubt. In this case, he's coming for the second coming. I wanted to show that to you because there are still people today that are just doubting more and more that I don't think the Lord's even coming. What do you mean you don't think the Lord's coming? Look at the things that's taking place in this world, the computer stuff, the 666 stuff, the chips, the image capabilities. I mean, it's working. Look at the president. He's now a global leader. There's reasons to tell us that this is all coming down. And before he comes back, we have to go. And then when he comes down, there'll be still seven more years. So we've been taught. So even though things really aren't quite ready for the big battle and Him coming, it's getting closer. And we know that we're not going to be gone until the son of perdition is revealed. So all these people that were saying, oh, Obama's going to be the Antichrist. He's going to be the Antichrist. Okay. We have a problem with that. Well, you'd be so, why are we going to leave after He's revealed? Oh. So did we all vote for Obama? He's not the Antichrist. But He sure is getting things closer and closer. I mean, just look. Oh, we're going to get into that tonight. 1 John 2:19. Here's another one we're going to look at. This is going to be taking place in the tribulation. But is it possible that we can fall for some of these things ourselves? 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. This is about people that quit. They went out from us. But you know, they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out, that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. Now that will be taking place in the tribulation. But that's already taking place today, quite a bit, more and more and more. Now for anybody out on the website, if you're having a difficult time with your church and the teachings or the Great Commission and you're being guilt-ridden and all that stuff, like some of them written to me, and they keep writing to me more and more, or that one chance I'm having on the internet to talk to this one person, one little piece at a time, they're still wondering why things are the way they are, but they're starting to see it. So if you need to go, you need to go. But if it's a church that's preaching rightly divided, Bible-believing, King James, Paul-following, not hyper-type teachings, you need to stay. Because it says here again that there are people that will leave. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not all of us. So when a person quits, they were never part of the family anyway. And they want people to know that they're not part of that church. So if anybody out there in the web land does end up quitting, just quit quietly. Get your Bible, go home. If you can't find a church, check with us. We'll let you in and get that Bible open in your family. Don't quit. Unless you have to move on. And then lastly, Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. Lastly, meaning my outline, lastly. There's still two more verses to go, but it is my last point anyway. Lastly, Philippians chapter 4. If anybody should continue the way things are going, if anybody should continue and endure hardness, endure sound doctrine, it had better be us. Philippians 4, verse 6. Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now that reminded me of one more verse. I think I can find it pretty quickly. You're talking about peace. It's in Thessalonians. Look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about keeping our hearts and minds through Christ Jesus, being peaceful during this time if we're going to endure hard, sound doctrine. He says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 12, when we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Now this isn't the Hebrews 13 verse where you better do everything the pastor says or your life will be miserable, so will he, and you'll be accountable for it, that kind of a threat. And that's not what this is at all. To know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you and esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. And then it says, and be at peace among yourselves, no matter what he says. If it's Scripture, take it and get on with life and have peace. That's what he's saying there. And esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Because we're trying to put forth the Bible. I put a little blurb on our website, changed it just a little bit today, and I said, I'm trying to do the work of an evangelist. We basically have to tell people what's going on. They're not going to listen. Increase is his concern, not ours. So our church is actually an evangelist. We need to find a way to tell people what's going on and show them Paul. Show them the risen Savior, the risen Christ. And then 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verse 9. There's our last verse for tonight. 1 Thessalonians 1, verse 9. Talking about this witness in Macedonia and Achaia. It says, "For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you." These people that went to Macedonia and Achaia, they listened to Paul and his teachings and his preachings, and it changed their lives. They actually let Paul's teachings enter into their life, enter into them. And it says there, these people saw how they turned to God from idols. They saw that. To serve the living and true God. Having trouble trying to tell somebody something? Maybe they just don't see that we have turned from idols to serve the living and true God. It'll probably make them mad if you do. You probably won't do it good enough. You probably won't do it right enough. It'll be a struggle. You'll be knocked around by your own kin and by your own family and your own church and your own community, because that's what happened to Jesus. But that's okay. They saw that you're trying to turn from idols to serve the living and true God. Notice it says, serve the living and true God. You're not just making a change, you're serving Him. Maybe we're still lacking in that department. We've made the change and it looks right, but are you actually serving the living God? How do you do that? Read Paul and keep changing. Read Paul and have that joy. Read Paul, read here from the risen Christ, and have a joy and a peace about you that no matter what hits you, it's okay. That's what they need to see. I'm not very good at that. I'm just not. But I need to be. And ends of my notes, it says this: take yourself seriously. It's time to take ourselves seriously. It is time to take our Bible seriously. We're trusting in the fact that it will carry us through what is about to take place. We need to take the teaching and the preaching seriously. Don't just hear it and say that it's a good outline or it was kind of too long or whatever. Look at what was said, and it's not the sermon and it's not the preaching. We'll talk about that Sunday. You need to take your church and family seriously. If you have to leave, leave. In these churches that are teaching lies and teaching Great Commission, dividing up your family by taking your teenage girls to one teacher, taking your teenage boys to another youth pastor, taking your young kids to another teacher, taking your younger kids to another teacher, taking your babies to a nursery where they pump them with Christian music, and taking your wife and teach her down here with these things, and then take the husband and teach him over here, and nobody knows what's being taught. Been there a million times. So if you have to leave, then leave. But if you don't, then step up to the plate and get busy serving the living God. And then I know you still don't understand all that's there, but we need to take our web ministry seriously as well. We have well over 100 people that are listening and trying and learning these things. You just don't know that. Some of them help financially. Most of them don't. I pray someday that they will. But that's not what we ask them to do. For this, I was talking to the man yesterday who was born and raised in Oregon. His father was a preacher and things. He's down in I think he said Alabama. And he said that, you folks out there, you are pioneers. I said, that's right. I've said that for years, that we are pioneers out here. And anytime you want to try to do anything as a Christian, you are the only one that's going to try to do that. There's very little Christianity in our air out here. True, honest, rightly divided, Bible-believing, a Paul-following, manner-of-life-type Christianity, that if you want to try to do something, or be somewhere, or get some things in your life, or stop doing some things or whatever, you will be on your own. That's the way it is out here. And that's what he was telling me. And I remember that. That's the way it is. And it isn't going to change. So keep in mind that this is between you and God, what's going to take place between here and the time we depart or die or whatever takes place. We don't have God's wrath to worry about, but we have man's persecution. May not be for a while, it may be next week. But He tells us what to continue in. And we need to continue in those things. Amen? Now, if I can just remember what I preach for myself, that'll be good. continue on.